Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Guys, I was up. What are you laughing at? I was up early to watch the dolphins.
You were early to watch the dolphins?
I saw your video of the dolphins the other day.
It was an absolutely beautiful video, Maureen. Can I say that the way you left that camera on the back of that man's head for a minute and a half after the dolphins had disappeared was by far the highlight for me of that entire video. I was like, oh, we're just going to keep looking at the back of that man's head. I thought maybe a dolphin will appear back into view. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
I couldn't be asked to edit it. I mean, you saw the dolphins at the beginning, and people don't watch the whole clip anyway. And also, it was almost a Be My Maureen moment because I hadn't booked a ticket because I wasn't sure where I'd get up in time. I thought, oh, there's 13 tickets left. I mean, who's going to buy 13 tickets between now and tomorrow? Turns out 13 people. So I got there and he went, oh, no, we're sold out. And I'm like, oh, he goes, but if there's no show, so obviously we'll give you a ticket. And so it was getting, you know, there's like a couple, what, two people left. And I'm like, oh, I just got here. I got up at 5:30 to make sure I got, anyway.
Oh, this guy, Maureen, and you didn't book your ticket in advance.
No. So anyway, this guy turns up and he goes, oh, yeah, it's two tickets, but my mate's ill. I went, oh, thank God for that. And he just looked at me because obviously some random woman was just being really joyful that his friend was ill. And I went, oh, no, it means I can get on the boat.
Well done, Maureen. One person's misfortune is another person's dolphin boat trip.
So, yeah. And in other news, two things happened this week. I'm living my life. I was the only woman in the Comedy Ashes series, which is between Australian and British comics. Guess who got the high score?
Yay!
I'm going to guess it was you, Maureen, otherwise it you wouldn't have brought it up.
Oh, no, definitely wouldn't have brought it up. I got 141. And yeah, before we got 70. And like most of the comics didn't know me, so I was just thinking, probably thought I'm
underestimated here. Maureen Younger at your peril.
So what? There's a contest? There's a competition?
Yeah. So you get scores for how many laughs. Yeah, England, Australia.
British comics versus I suppose it's strictly speaking should be English comics, but yeah, versus Australian. Because it's the Ashes is a cricket tournament. And so they do this, it's every year they do it in Adelaide. I don't think they do it in Melbourne, but they definitely do it in Adelaide. And then the audience decide who wins. And the only reason they won was because Maureen got the most runs.
Got 141.
And I'm not talking about diarrhea.
Highest scores for debutante.
Debutante?
Yeah, that's my first Ashes.
Not your last, Maureen.
And I was very smug and I wanted to tell people, but obviously it's a very quick telegraph, so everybody knew before I could actually tell them. I was like, wanted to boast about it.
Who cares? It's nice that people know. Anyway, look, Maureen, it's not a surprise to Alison and I that you smashed it. Is it, Alison?
No, not at all. Not at all.
How's I mean, everybody wants to hear what's Jamie been up to this week.
Does everybody want to hear?
Yes.
Alison, do you?
I mean, I'm assuming Jamie has been in a corner somewhere.
She was here a second ago. She's popped out. She's busy. She's got things to do.
She's got this, another corner to explore.
She's got another corner to explore. Listen, Jamie is very popular and unpopular in equal measure in this house. She's popular because she's a cutie. She's a little cutie, little thing bobbling about. She's a kitten. She's having fun. Every day is an exciting day for Jamie. I will say, Maureen, that I haven't seen a cat so desperate to get out. It feels cruel. I don't worry. I'm not going to let her out. But she is like, but why can't I go out? And I'm like, you just can't, okay? I've told you this and there's no... But she said, there's a whole thing out there and you're outside. Yes. And that's got nothing to do with you, okay? Anyway, she shat on the duvet the other day while I was in bed. So
I was about to ask, what else has she shit on or scratched up or...
Yeah, so I was reading in bed. I don't want to lean into what a literary giant I am, but I was consuming some literary fiction and she was where she always is. She's by my feet. I wasn't taking much notice of her. And then I noticed that she was scratching the duvet. Now, Jamie only scratches either to prepare herself for a ablution, not even an ablution, a shit or a wee, or to cover it up. So I was like, oh dear, she needs to go to the toilet. What's she doing up here? Looked up. She'd already been to the toilet on my duvet. Big fat turd sitting on the bed. Still confused as to why she did it, but she very much looked at me and went, that litter tray probably needs changing. I thought, I don't know if you know, but if you're going to keep a litter tray and not clean it for a whole day, then I'm going to shit on your bed. I was like, I haven't. I said to Chloe, have you changed the litter tray today? She went, no, it's not my job. And I was like, strictly speaking, it is my job, but I had been out working. As one does. And so hadn't checked before I went to bed. So Jamie reminded me by taking a massive dump on my bed while I was in it. But, you know, there we go. So it's a learning curve and we're living and we're learning and we're loving. And isn't it wonderful to have animals in the house because they give you so much, in this case, of their own shit. I was cross with her briefly and then you know I got over it, but Chloe was like, that's unacceptable. I said, I know, I don't know what to say, but next time if I'm out, you change the litter tray, please.
Yeah,
I've just been stealing food as well. Apparently
she stole Chloe left out some sausages briefly for the children and she stole those. She stole, what else has she stolen? She stole a pepperami from mouth while he was eating it. Was like, she just took that from my mouth. And then I went to take it from her and she went,
oh yeah, she gets, you try to take food from her, she gets very aggressive.
Well, I took it from her, she was upset,
not happy.
I thought she'll really be sick if she eats that pepperami. What else has she stolen? Well,
chicken.
Oh, she ate my chicken. Chloe left my chicken out so that I could eat dinner. So she put a plate over it. She knocked the plate off, ate the chicken. So she ate my dinner. I had to make myself an omelette. But I said to Chloe, we're going to have to go vegetarian. This isn't working. So that's Jamie update. She's fine. Alison, what have you been up to?
Well, let's continue on with pet talk.
Yes, please.
Yeah, it happened.
Now your audience.
Yeah, we know what's going on. We took Bear to get him done on Monday.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Alison, are you okay? I know that you would have felt it as much as he did. Well, you probably not, but...
Well, but it was stressful. I was worried, right? So they're like, again, this is very funny. Get there at 7 a.m. So I got up, took a taxi, took him to the vet, 7 a.m. They're like, we'll usually call around 3 o'clock for you to come pick him up at that time because we like to keep them in. I was like, great, no problem. Drop him off at 7. 11:30. They're like, hi, nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Procedure went great. It's just he seems very stressed and is barking a lot. So we were wondering if you wanted to come get him now, a.k.a. come get your loud fucking Pomeranian out of the veterinarian clinic because he's upsetting the other dogs because this is traumatic. And I was like, oh, yeah, we don't really leave him alone. And then, so we go in and he's like very traumatized. And she goes, so maybe what you want to do for the next little while is maybe, you know, keep his food bland, but give him a bit of treat, you know, like chicken. They always like chicken. That's a nice treat. And I was like, I'm going to stop you there. Chicken every
chicken
day.
Anyway. Yeah.
I actually make kind of a stew. That's the only way I can get him to eat the dog food is if I mix the dog food in with this kind of stew that I make. And she just looked at me and she's like, wow. I feel like a very bad owner right now. And I was like, so normally they keep the dogs in all day, not our guy. They're like, can you come get your fucking Pomeranian right now?
Spoil your pets. Yeah. Maureen gave me a bag of what's ostensibly treats for the cat.
Yeah.
We haven't even touched the sides of those treats. Maybe that's why she's so upset. I do give her
too many treats, I think.
Well, I'm just wary of them because they're not good for their kidneys. Cats can't. A lot of these stuff is quite processed and their kidneys can't cope with it. The same with wet food. So I do give her a treat because she's a baby. But yeah. I just don't do it as often. And she's like, I get one of these six times a day, bitch. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. not this one.
You're like, not in this house.
No. No.
You should steam up a sweet potato for her because apparently they love sweet potatoes. Have you not seen the video of all the cats eating sweet potatoes?
Get out of town.
Yes, they run to the sweet potato. Steam it up, make it soft, and watch her just like, they love sweet potato.
I didn't think cats ate any kind of vegetable.
Yeah, a sweet potato.
It can't be bad for her because she's eating all of our plants. So maybe that'll be the roughage that helps her digest all the other crap.
Yeah.
You know how like spider plants have baby plants? She's eaten all of them. Every single baby plant.
Oh.
We had about 12. They've all gone. I mean, fine. Look, because if she was a grown cat, I'd be like, you're going to get it in the head. But because she's a baby, you just go, oh, well, whatever. She is
cute,
learning now
she?
Not to jump on the table. She does it all the time, but I just have to go, ah, and now she jumps down. Whereas before she'd look at me and go, why are you shouting? And I'm like, because I want you to get off the table. Yeah, I think I'm just going to stay here and see. Oh, look, is that a bit of butter?
Oh, yeah. I call butter the yellow devil. Once they taste the yellow devil, there's no going back.
She knows at breakfast that there's butter around and she's like, where? Come on. You're going to drop some. I'll have some.
Oh, yeah. Bear cries for the toaster to come out. If the toaster doesn't come out, he's like, because he knows that. The toaster means butter is about to be put on bread. He gets very excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're creating boundaries gradually, which are kind of pointless because they'll go out the window as soon as Maureen takes her back.
I was going to say, you've been trying to create boundaries with Maureen for years. So good luck with her fucking cat. I wish you the best of luck. There are no boundaries.
Very unboundaried women. Anyway, we've all had a week, and that's important. Alison, I'm glad to hear that even though your little bear has no longer got his knackers, that he's in good, fine fettle.
Yeah. He's pretty schmoopy. He's pretty cuddly. I'm like, is this what you're going to be now?
Yeah. Without the testosterone, see the cuddles return.
I know. I told Danny he's next.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The cuddles.
I don't know what it would be like to have men with no knackers. I think that would be a bit sad. Or maybe not. I don't know. Who am I to say?
Have to deal with them. So
I know, but I think there's a lot of straight women who would be like, what? He was so much more fun when his dick moved. Anyway, let's, in a upward mash, edit this bit out, Alex, for the love of Christ. Let's not keep that bit in.
Or don't. And please use Alex's face in these as well.
There's absolutely, sometimes I keep talking and I think, stop.
You're not the only one who thinks that, Jen.
I'm having a Be More Maureen moment in front of Maureen. Well, Maureen, we're about to be judging you very harshly, as we always do at this point of the show. And well, we're heading over to you, Maureen. No, Maureen, understand how the podcast works. I have to introduce you. We've been doing this for over 3 years. And now it's time, Christ on a bike, to head back over to Maureen Younger, who has a beam. What Maureen moment?
Me and Jen were in the jacuzzi. I had this new swimming costume on, and the top was actually around my neck. So I was flashing Jen and completely unaware of it.
Completely topless. Tankini round her neck. That would have been the first indicator to me. I'd be like, what is this around my neck?
No, I didn't notice. I think it's a Be More Maureen moment. It was for a conversation I had with an Australian woman on the boat, because I went to West Beach the other day and was swimming in the water. It was lovely. I said, I don't mind, you know, it's fine because there's no sharks.
Oh, there's loads of sharks.
Yeah, that's what she said. She went, no, there are loads of sharks. I went, yeah, but they don't go in shallow water. She went, yeah, they do. She goes, there was a young girl apparently recently was just got off a jet ski onto the beach. Oh, she was just jumping onto the beach and she got grabbed. I went, oh, like really shallow water? She went, yeah, they do. I said, well, I suppose there's no jellyfish at least. She went, oh, no, there's jellyfish. I was like, really? She goes, did you do anything? She did you do any research? She went, yeah, there's nothing like research. I said, and that was nothing like research. I don't know why, I just got into my head that there was no sharks or jellyfish or stingrays. And then, funny enough, we saw a shark not long afterwards, a hammerhead. But
God, Maureen, where? Where did you see the shark?
In the sea, obviously.
No. Where were you when you saw the shark? Were you on the boat? Were you on a boat? Were you on the side of the shore?
It came across the boat.
Right. Okay. So it was when you were on the boat, not when you were in the sea. I do know that they're in the sea.
I mean, you would have heard about it if I'd seen a shark while I was in the sea, Jen. But yeah, I just thought that's so me. Like me, I just happily swimming in the sea, thinking, well, there's no sharks in South Australia, are there? And, you know, no jellyfish anyway. And then she went, and you know the thing about between the red flags? I went, no. And she went,
you're not supposed to swim.
Yeah. Well, you've got to swim between the flags or something.
You've got to swim between the yellow flags. If there's a red flag, you don't get in the water.
Oh, is that right?
Don't swim between the red flags. Just don't swim.
So I just thought,
you're the only person I know that would swim towards a red flag. What is that red flag?
I just thought, as long as you swam between the flags, but no, okay. So anyway, I just thought that's quite Beam or Maureen that, you know, I'm happily swimming in waters that I thought were perfectly safe. I mean, like, they were perfectly safe. They got, you know, they have a lot of lifeguards.
I mean, look, there's sharks around the whole coast of Australia.
What this Australian woman pointed out to me today.
I don't know why I thought Australia that doesn't have sharks. Maybe I think in the north, maybe they've got, because they've got a lot of sea crocodiles. So maybe there's, I don't know if they have fewer sharks around there because there's these big, huge sea crocodiles. You're in much more danger swimming in water where there are sea crocodiles than you are sharks. Not to say that they never, but if they attack you, it's because they think they think you're something else. They think, oh, what kind of fish is that? So if they'll grab you and they're like, ugh, no, that's not very tasty. But they're not going to, it's very rare that a shark will, you know, eat you. Or they might well give you a good old bite.
I didn't realise they went to shallow waters because I was like,
yes, actually deliberately didn't tell you that. because I thought she won't go in the sea. And it's so lovely to go in the sea. But it is really rare. But of course, every time you go and you speak to an Aussie, they love to tell you about, my cousin lost his leg to a shark. You're like, did he? They love to tell you, those spiders will take your eye out. You know, they love to wind up British people. I think there's no greater joy than an Australian explaining to an English person how the various different animals that live in
can
the
kill
country
them.
Can kill us.
But I thought that was a bit more Maureen moment, me just going...
I mean, it's a classic Maureen. I don't expect you to have done any research. The fact that you didn't even know there were jellyfish along that coastline is quite something.
I knew there was jellyfish. I just thought it was in Queensland or somewhere.
Everywhere, yeah. So they only holiday in Queensland.
This time of the year.
I think the marine life in Australia, as it's pretty much a continent, is quite diverse. So you will get different types of jellyfish in the north than you'll get in the south, and in the west that you'll get in the east. But be assured, they're everywhere. Yeah. How was your? That was a beautiful photograph that you took of that beach that you went to. What beach was that? That didn't look like Glenelg. What beach was
that? It's up from a Glenelg. It's West Beach, and it was beautiful. It was so hot, and I went first to I couldn't face the beach, so I went to this place which had a deck, and the inside was full, and the deck was by the edges where you can look at great view of the sea was empty. I thought that's weird, and so I sat at the table right by the edge, and I was like, it's because you've got no shade from the sun, so I had to come back a bit. But the water was gorgeous. It was cold, but because it was so hot, it was really nice. But they had surfing waves, and the waves, people were body surfing. I don't body surf. I just stand there and get knocked over.
Yes. I don't think any of us thought that surfing was your thing.
And at first I quite enjoyed it, and then I got a really big wave came, and then I drank a lot of seawater. I mean, Britain... the water hasn't got a load of shit in it, so that's a big advantage.
That's a relief, isn't it? So at least if you swallow some, you think, at least I'm not eating someone else's poo.
But honestly, being in that water, it was so, particularly when I didn't think anything horrible could be in it, it was so gorgeous because it was so hot and the water was just, it was just lovely.
It's quite exhilarating playing in the waves. I know it's a bit, it does get very rough. And if you get caught up in one, you can go for a tumble, which isn't particularly fun, I imagine, but... it's quite fun to be in the shallow.
Yeah, and it was West Beach. It goes out. You have to go out a really long way, and I never got that far in order to basically not stand. It's great for kids, I suppose, because it's quite shallow for a very long time, and it's not that busy. So because everybody, all the tourists go to Glenelg. So yeah, I had a really nice time.
Lovely, Maureen. Well, you're doing a lot. You're getting out and about. I'm glad you haven't been grabbed by a shark. Oh, what would be the greatest Be More Maureen moment would be if Maureen had come back and gone, and then I saw a shark. And that's when I realised there were sharks in the water.
Oh, you know what? I could have gone swimming with the dolphins today, and I decided not to because I'm not a great swimmer. And then I didn't realise you have to put on wetsuits.
Yeah, because you know why, right?
Why?
Dolphins are little humpers.
What?
Yeah, dolphins... often will try to, like...
where are they going to put it? In your ear roll?
I don't know, but they swim up. Dolphins are very horny little...
interspecies sex for the dolphin.
They don't care. They're very open-minded. Dolphins have been ahead of the time for a long time.
That would have been comedy gold, trying to get me into a wetsuit. Could you imagine? And then I was watching these very, very slender Chinese girls, and they were having... it's really hard to get... they were doing a really... it was really hard for them to get it on. I was like, I'd have no chance. And then this American woman turned around and went, oh, the zip goes at the back, and then to take them off again.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, everyone learned something that day. Well, Maureen, I'm glad we didn't have to witness that or hear about that, you trying to get in a wetsuit.
Yeah, that would have been...
I don't know how that would have worked. I don't think it would have. It would have been like that scene, do you know, remember from Friends, where Ross is trying to put on those leather trousers? And then he gets out, the talcum powder comes out, and then the talcum, he starts sweating and it turns into a paste and he smacks himself in the face. It would have been like that, except Maureen would still be in the wetsuit. She wouldn't have gotten out of it.
She would have been doing the podcast in a wetsuit.
They would have
right
had to
now.
Cut her out of the wetsuit. Well, Maureen, I'm very glad that you're still alive, that you haven't been eaten by a shark and you haven't been stung by a jellyfish. I was stung by a jellyfish, not in Adelaide, but in Sydney. A blue bottle. They're called blue bottles. I don't know what season they turn up, but they're very, very small heads, but very, very long. And every sea I've been to, I've been stung by a jellyfish. Something pretty special about me there.
Did it hurt? I take it to hurt.
Holy moly, macaroni. Yes. It left what looked like burn marks on my legs and on my arms, and they lasted for months. I didn't realise they would last for so long. I tell you what happened. They disappeared after about 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And then they came back. These welts came back. Apparently that's normal. The poison rises to the surface. It's too much information. Maureen, thank you very much for your Be More Maureen moment. As always, an absolute classic. She's done her research. Has she?
No.
Of course she hasn't. No. Let's go to Alison. Listen, I know for a fact, Alison, that someone has contacted you with a problem, and I know that you can Blinking will help. So let's ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No, no. No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Well, yeah, someone did. Thank you for sending in a problem. Please keep sending in problems. I promise you, I love them. No problem is too small. No problem is too large. I will give it a go. You walk away with some suggestions, maybe a little bit of guidance. I'm not a professional therapist. I always like to point that out, but who knows? Maybe that'll be my next job. All right, here we go. not that I'm thinking about other jobs, but, you know, now and again, it does cross my mind. I would like to ask Alison. Okay, I am currently at a stage in my life where I feel lost. I'm 32, single, and the contract for my job ends this month. I've been having interviews since the beginning of this year, but I'm becoming a little deflated with rejections, especially when I think the interviews have gone well. I split from my partner last year. It was my choice, but was still very sad, and I still don't think I'm over it. The idea of dating again is filling me with dread, and I still think about him a lot, even though I do feel I made the right choice. I feel comfortable in my own skin, so I don't feel as if I need to be with somebody, but spending an increased amount of time on my own in the evenings is starting to get to me. I have great friends and family and socialize regularly with them, but I can't help but to feel like I am falling behind. What would your advice be for someone who's trying to find their direction in life? Okay, first off, you are not falling behind, all right? Life is a marathon. It's not a race. And everyone's marathon is different. There is no falling behind. There is simply living your life and having experiences as you are supposed to have them. So do not feel like you are falling behind. You feel like you're spending an increased amount of time on your own at home? Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Maybe it's time to take a class. Maybe it's time to volunteer. Maybe it's time to explore something that you haven't been looking into all that much, an interest that maybe it's time to learn another language. I like the idea of a class because I think you might be interacting with some other people, especially right now, seeing as you got some more time. Now might be a great time for that. Also, I just want you to take a moment and celebrate the fact that you are 32 and living on your own. I want you to know so many people live their whole lives never having their own space and living on their own. A majority of people go from parent to roommates to relationship. Maureen, you know, you have been able to live on your own for a little while now. And I think about it, the amount of people that you know in your life that have never had that experience. There is something magical and wonderful about having your very own space. I want you to celebrate that. And I want you to really appreciate that right now. I had a friend when I lived in Toronto who forced me to get my own place. I didn't think I could afford it. And she's like, I just want you to experience living on your own for once in your life, because so many people don't get that. And it was the greatest experience I've ever had. So I want you to see where you're at right now as a real blessing and a real special thing. Not a lot of people, especially the cost of living, like, appreciate that and know that you are already winning. So many people will be looking at your situation in life and going, oh my God, I wish I had that. Okay, so I just want you to know that. Also, 33 was one of my favorite years of my life. I loved my 30s. Your 20s are just survival. You're just living, you get through your 20s. 30s is when you start to become the person you're meant to be. 30s is when you start to really think about, what do I want my life to be? 30s is when you begin to create what your life will be in your 40s. So I want you to know you're in exactly the right place you should be. And I'm very proud of you for even thinking about these and exploring these things in your life right now, because the mapping out that you're doing right now is what will determine what your life will be. So you are exactly where you should be, in my opinion. I think this job transition is a good thing. You know, I think the universe, please don't think I'm cheesy for saying that, but sometimes we'll stay in a job for too long. Sometimes the universe goes, nah, time to get out of this one. So I think it's actually probably a blessing that this has happened to you right now. I think for you right now, the best action that you can take is a little bit of reflection. Before you make any other changes, you have to understand where you're starting from. So I like that you're exploring right now about what you want your life to be. Look, I say this a lot. I think a little morning journaling would be great. I think you need to reflect on what it is maybe you don't want in your life. Sometimes we think about, oh, what is it? Look at what has happened in the past and think about, okay, what don't I want in my life moving forward? What have I learned from my experiences? And online, I found something that I thought was really interesting. Research has shown that a personal vision statement is something that kind of encapsulates your interests, your skills, your values, what the world needs from you, and your ultimate goal. I saw how you can design one of these vision statements on BetterUp.com. So if you go to BetterUp.com vision statement, it will literally guide you through some questions, and it will help you to give you just a better idea of what it is you want out of your life, which then will help you to be able to choose your next steps. Get supportive friends. You sound like you have that. You've got a good support network. One big thing that I want you to think about right now is learning to embrace discomfort. These are the years where you have to push yourself into unknown areas to grow. So learning to embrace discomfort, which I feel is what you're doing right now, I think will really, really help you moving forward. And I wanted to read you a quote that I really, really loved. And I'll end it on this. And I know this is a little airy-fairy. I haven't given you exact steps, but there are no exact steps. I think everything you're doing right now is perfect. So here's my quote. No matter who you are, no matter what you did, no matter where you've come from, you can always change, become a better version of yourself. And that was from Madonna. That is my quote of the day. And I just think you're doing a great job. Explore the idea of a personal vision statement. Right now, you are in a reflective place, and I think it's the perfect place for you to be. That's my advice.
Very good advice, Alison. Thank you very much. I agree with that. There is no stopwatch. There is no winning. There is no first prize. We are all on a different journey. We're all going to get to where we get to in the time that it takes for us to get to. You know, you can only do what you can do within the parameters of who you are. And equally, 32 is ridiculous young. I mean, like, yeah. Just look. At 32, I was still all over the flicking shop. I didn't know what way was up, what way was down. You know, living in shared accommodation with lots of other people. I was living hand to mouth. I had barely any money. I say barely any money. I had no money. You know, and I wasn't... I think I just got together with Chloe, and, you know, that was up and down, and, you know, we weren't sure if we were going to be together, and all of this sort of stuff was happening. And I tell you what, there's no way I could have predicted where I'd be 15 years later or 20 years later.
No.
But
no.
We are three women that are, if nothing else, perfect examples of three people that have not hit the targets that we were meant to hit at the time we were meant to hit them. And look at us with this incredibly successful semi-successful, it's niche boutique.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rory has just left.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But I don't know where she's gone. I can hear Maureen.
Maureen
laughing.
Is laughing with other people.
We're
like,
in the middle of a podcast. Can this be my goat? Where's Maureen?
So have you two decided what's got your goat?
Well, I think we've done it, Maureen.
We've finished.
We've done it, and let's just say you were involved. Anyway,
we can move on to TV.
Take it away, Maureen.
Well, this week I discovered that Outlander Series 6 is free on Netflix if you're in Australia. So I've been watching Outlander. So, Jen, you'll be gutted to know that because obviously you won't be able to watch it with me. Well, you won't be able to watch it, but yeah, Outlander. So basically we're back to Season 6 and I've seen the first two episodes. So the first episode is a lot of exposition and I'm going to watch it just because. I mean, I don't enjoy it as much as I used to in the old days, but, you know. Might as well watch it for free while I can, because in England, in Britain, you've got to pay extra to watch Outlander now.
Yes, I mean, I've got absolutely no interest in that show at all. It's truly appalling.
You'll be pleased to know that Claire and Jamie haven't aged a bit, even though they're now in their mid-50s. I think Claire's got a few more strands of grey hair. That's about it, really.
I am pleased to hear that. I'm very pleased to hear that, Maureen. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. The first two episodes, nothing much has happened. I am a bit fed up with the whole thing about, because they use sexual violence as a plot point, which I in various times
is it getting on your nerves.
Just one too many times.
I feel like there are certain storylines, plot lines that kind of repeated themselves over and over again, and you sort of. Every single time something would happen to Claire, she'd be on the brink of some sort of disaster. She'd be on the brink of some sort of like peril.
Yeah, she's now, people still think she's a witch now again.
Something will happen where she has absolutely died. There's absolutely no way she could have survived it. And then somehow, like, she'll be in a storm on a boat and the boat will hit a rock and this boat will sink and everybody drowns. And then just at the last minute, you just see her bobbing up for air. The only person... Bearing in mind, dragged down with all of her dress and everything. And then she's right at the bottom of the ocean. And just at the last minute, Jamie finds her in the middle of a storm, in the sea,
the
ocean. God knows where he's been thrown in one direction. But he finds her. Oh, fuck off. Anyway, Maureen, I'm glad that you're watching it. It's important to keep up, isn't it?
Yeah. And do you know what? I've watched 5 episodes of... True Detective, but I can't stream the 6th over here, so I've got to wait till I get back to England.
Why can't you stream the 6th episode?
Well, it must be rights in Australia.
Oh, so they don't have the True Detective in Australia.
Oh,
I don't know, but it won't let me stream it. So it was like, well, it gives me something to wait for.
Well, it will be really good when you get it, because the final episode is good. It's not like some of these series where you have enjoyed the whole thing and then you get to the last episode and you think, oh.
Oh, like Line of Duty, when H proved to be the least likely character to be
Or the most likely character, depending on which way you look at it, I guess. But yeah. Yes, I mean, nothing like that. But I mean, that's different because that was loads of series. This is only one series. It's only 5 or 6 episodes, isn't it? So it's not quite as bad as... But the third series of True Detective really was like... You could have wrapped this up in an episode if that is who the murderer is. Do you know what I mean? Where you're wow. Literally that guy. That was it. That we all thought it was him at the beginning. Him. Okay. Right. 6 episodes later. Or whatever it was, 8 episodes. I've been watching The Detectorists, which I didn't watch when it first came out in 2014. If you don't know what The Detectorists is, it is Mackenzie Crook's sitcom starring himself, Mackenzie Crook, Toby Jones, Rachel Sterling, Laura Checkley's in it, Amy, Fionn Edwards, who you'll know from Slow Horses if you've been watching that, Sophie Thompson, she's brilliant in it. It is really just sweet, lovely. It's about these two characters, Andy and Lance, played by Mackenzie Crook and Toby Jones, who are metal detectorists. And it's about their lives and the people that they are in their detectorists club and their relationships. And it's just really sweet and fun and warm. Every series is about six episodes. And sometimes you'll watch it and just, it's funny. It is really funny, but sometimes not much happens. And it's all set in the English countryside and it looks idyllic and just really, it's just like having a warm cup of cocoa. That's how I would describe this series. I don't know how well it did when it first came out, but it has an absolutely ridiculous cult status, particularly in this country amongst a lot of geeky men who adore it. But I can really recommend it. There's only three series of it, so it's like 18 episodes. And it's just such a great series, fun, warm. It's what we, you know, when you just need something that is like light and fun, that mm-hmm. is, that, you know, that's not, you know what I'm like? I love some sort of post-apocalyptic nightmare. It's the absolute polar opposite of that. So I can highly recommend Detectorists. If you live in the UK, you can stream it on Netflix. And if you don't, I believe it's on Amazon Prime. Alison, what is the horror that awaits us?
Yeah. Okay. I've got one. A new one. Well, not new, but new that I've never really thought of before. Okay. The horror movie of the week. Because I was thinking about, you know, contemplating where we're at, our weaknesses, our strengths, moving, you know. And so I am choosing the horror movie Hush. Now, I don't know if you guys remember Hush or heard of it.
I've heard of it, but I don't remember. What is it about?
So co-writer Kate Siegel, who is the main lady, the main character in this, stars as a deaf woman stalked by a psychotic killer in this home invasion thriller from horror helmer Mike Flanagan. He also did Oculus and Absentia. So Maddie, the character, has lived a life of isolation since losing her hearing as a teenager, fully retreating into her now silent world. But when the masked face of a psychotic killer appears in the window of her secluded home, Maddie must push herself beyond her mental and physical limits in order to survive the night.
I heard of this.
Yeah, it's so good. So Maddie is a promising writer who lives alone and happens to be deaf. Everything is going pretty well until some murderer decides that he is going to kill Maddie. Let's just say Maddie is less than cool with his plan and does everything in her power to thwart him. Why did I choose this movie? Because I think there is an overlying theme to this movie and I love it. If you're in a point where you feel your life is transitioning, you don't know what's going on, you don't know where you're at, the reason why I like it is because it reminds you that your perceived weaknesses may actually be your strengths. And if you keep thinking and trying, you will always be victorious. So that is why I'm choosing that horror movie.
Have you seen Wait Until Dark, which is kind of similar with Audrey Hepburn?
No.
And she's it's a brilliant movie. She's a blind woman.
Yes.
And
I have seen it.
It's great, isn't it? She picks up, I think, is it drugs or something? She accidentally, at the airport, picks something up that belongs to a bunch of crooks. And it's in her house. And she can't see. And it's the same thing. So like they're trying to get in. She takes off all the lights because obviously she can see. She can work her way around. And then they open the fridge so they've got light and everything. It's honestly, it's a really check it out. Wait Until Dark. It's a
okay.
really good movie.
Yeah, you got two versions of the same type of film. I will watch that. And I love Audrey Hepburn. So, but yeah, I just love that. I love the idea of something that you see as a weakness is actually your strength. Yeah.
That is a really scary film as well, because that's kind of sort of like every woman's nightmare, isn't it, that movie?
And the killer is in a white mask. As soon as you put someone in a white mask,
at the window,
terrifying. It is everyone's nightmare. Yeah, yeah. And I'm telling you, you're on your edge of your seat. Not gory, not that sort of thing.
No, sort of suspense and jumping.
Surprise, surprise. It works out fine in the end for Maddie. Spoiler alert. But just so you're not afraid to watch it, everyone. Just so you're not afraid to watch it. Maureen, I think you'd be screaming your head off the entire time.
No, it's not. It's definitely not a movie for Maureen. But it's one of those ones that if you are in the mood for sort of like a bit of scariness without any gore,
yeah,
then this is sort of the movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that this. I'm always amazed at how many of these movies there are, Alison. I mean, it just feels like there's a bottomless supply of horror films.
There really is, everyone. And I know I have repeated a few, but because they suit the problem. But I am constantly looking for new horror films to recommend. Everyone.
Yeah, and that one actually does quite well reviews-wise. Yeah. You'd be pleased to hear. So thanks very much, Alison. Hush, you can get that. Well, just Google it, as we've Google always it. Say. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know everything. What do you expect from us? Right, Maureen, it's your corner. You put some culture into it. I can't wait to see what it is. Maureen Younger, she has a corner. It is full of things that we would like to put in our mouths. I don't know what I'm
Whoa,
saying.
Wow, wait.
Thanks for that wonderful intro, Jen.
First of all, can I give a big thanks to Samira, who recommended Temptation Sailing, which is the company I went on the dolphin thing with. They were brilliant. So thanks, Samira, for the tip. I'm going to carry on some Aussie movies, which I didn't include the last time. Have you seen The Sapphires?
No.
One of the main actors in it is Chris O'Dowd.
Oh, I really like. We all like Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah. And The Sapphires is about a group of Indigenous Australian women, and they form this group. They're this singing group, and they're discovered by Chris O'Dowd, who's a talent scout, and they travel to Vietnam because obviously Australia was fought in Vietnam to play in front of the troops. And it was, I really, really enjoyed it. I really, really liked it. So, and there's great songs in there as well. So that's The Sapphires. And then The Castle, I don't know if anybody, I saw this when it came out years ago. It's from 1997, it's a comedy. And it's
about what's it called?
The Castle.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen it? This is really old.
Oh, The Castle's a classic. The Castle is a classic Aussie comedy.
Yeah.
Film, sorry. Film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about the Kerrigan family, and they're living happily in an outer Melbourne suburb, and then their happiness is threatened when developers attempt to compulsory buy their house. And it's all about the Australian image and, you know, working class Australians. And it was a big, big, big hit, and it's considered one of the greatest Australian films ever made.
Really?
Apparently.
Oh, well, I've seen that. I haven't seen it for a very long time. But I watched it originally in Australia, and then I watched it again with Chloe because I wanted her to watch it. But I really loved that film, and I think it gives you sort of such a slice of Aussie life. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's of a particular time.
Yeah.
It really is of a particular time. But it kind of is sort of reminiscent of those Mike Leigh films from the 90s.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know, like Life is Sweet, that sort of thing. It's kind of got that vibe to it.
And also probably means more if you're Aussie or if you've been to Australia. Do you know what I mean? It's that,
yeah.
You know. And the third film, I haven't seen it, but it's considered a classic, Walkabout.
Oh,
I don't know if either of you
yes.
seen that.
With
1971.
Jenny Agutter. Yeah. I've seen it.
Nicholas Rogue. Have you seen it, Alison?
No, sorry, I have not.
It's an Aussie classic.
Yeah. It's about two white children are left to fend for themselves in the Australian outback. Not a very good idea. And they come across an Indigenous Australian who helps them to survive. And apparently it's one of the first films in the Australian New Wave cinema. And the British Film Institute included it in their list of the 50 films you should see by age 14.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's meant to be brilliant. I have never seen it for some reason.
Oh, well, you'd love it, but I don't know where you'd see it now. I don't know. You could rent it, I'm sure. Or do you know what? Yeah, the BFI. Or you could probably get it on, it's probably on YouTube or something. But yeah, I really recommend that. Well, those are three. I haven't seen The Sapphires, but the other two are absolute banging recommendations. And I can second those. Maureen, thank you very much for your cultural corner. Bang on the Aussie money. On the dollar, mate.
On the dollar.
All right. We've reflected. We've grown. We've learned more of Maureen's tales in Australia. Jen, we're at the end. What the hell is getting your goat this week?
I'm losing everything. I cannot find anything. I don't know where anything is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I can't take it anymore. So that's me getting my goat. There we are. I am learning. My children are at that age where they think that they're really super smart. Like, like I'll say something, then they go, oh, or is it? Or do they? Or do you? Or do I have to? Or is that right? You know, and there's a few phrases coming up and a few things coming back at me. And I said to Chloe, the children are turning into very obnoxious people and I don't like it. And she said, yeah, it's interesting how all the things that you say, they're now saying back at you. And I've realised the reason why my children are so obnoxious is because what they've done is listen to me, pick up the kind of shit I say, and now are hurling it back at me in my face. Turns out I don't like it. That's what's getting my goat is that, yeah, it's hearing.
It's you. It's you.
It's myself. It's hearing how annoying and obnoxious I am through the prism of my own offspring. Yeah. I don't know if offspring's the right word because I didn't spring from my off, but you know what I mean. My children. I mean, fair play to them. Sometimes they're pretty smart and they do make me look stupid. But yeah, it's getting on my nerves, actually. I've had to say to them, would you talk to your friends like this? They're like, no, why would I talk to my friends like this? And I'm like, well, I mean, yes. Well, that's my point, actually, is then, well, why are you talking to me like that? So, well, I like hanging out with my friends. Yes, but what I'm saying is, you shouldn't be rude to me, should you, for these reasons? They're like, oh, God. I'm just waiting for them to go, someone's on her period. Yeah, that's the next stage. We're days away from that. Anyway, that's what's been getting my goat, as I suppose me, is that. But, you know, I suppose it was going to happen. I was expecting a few extra years before I really started to hear it.
Oh, no.
Coming back at me. But it's starting. They're 9. It's well and truly in my face.
10 is the new 13. I'm sorry, Jen. 10 is the new 13.
Oh, yeah. And one of them keeps saying bruh all the time.
Oh, really, I hate that bruh.
What's bruh?
Bruh is like bro, bruh, bruh.
But he'll say it about anything. Like if I go, now listen, can you clean up your toys, please? Bruh. And I'm like, what's this bruh thing? Stop bruh. Stop bruh. You live in Brighton. And you're middle class and you're very white. Pick up your bloody Lego.
Bruh.
It's because they're absolutely obsessed with basketball. And all of their heroes are basketball players and they know all the stats that the bruh has come out to play. And they've decided now that they love rap music. And then I play them some rap music and they go, oh, don't know about that. Can I have some? Let's put BTS back on.
What rap music are you playing for them?
Oh, I was playing them some old 90s stuff, obviously, because that's all the stuff I like. You know, a bit of De La Soul and Tribe Called Quest and
all the old
bangers.
Bonita Applebum, you know, like the
Bonita Applebum. You got to turn me on, yeah,
yeah.
Mr. Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina. You know, all the bit of the Beastie Boys. No.
Oh, come on, the Beastie Boys, and they're not taken to it.
Eric B and Rakim not taken to it. It's just like, guys, Queen Latifah, that's a hard no. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Far Side, no thank you. I was like, you guys have got no. I went back 80s, Public Enemy.
Did you?
No. LL Cool J, nothing. So I'm beginning to think they don't like rap music.
Vanilla.
What's that?
Vanilla Ice?
That's the one rapper Maureen is contributing.
Right. Vanilla Ice. I don't know if we really include him in that.
Ice, baby.
Yes, Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Maureen was number one. And,
no.
And Marky Mark and Vanilla Ice. We're yet to move on to those.
Marky Mark.
You're leaving the classics to the end, are you?
Yeah, yeah. We're saving the best till last, Maureen. That's what we're doing. We're going to end on, I'm just trying to think of, is there anything worse than Vanilla Ice? I don't know if there is.
Oh, you could do crisscross.
Yeah. Jump.
Jump, jump. Come on.
Jump.
Because I'm making it, making it, making it, making it back.
Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats.
Will that do?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.